3 weeks ago, ABC premiered a new series called Happy Town. The drama follows a number of unsolved murders that all took place in a fictional small town in Minnesota called Haplin. If you tuned in last week, you would have heard a character named Carl Braven tell Deputy Eli Rogers and Detective Roger Hobbs some information that could prove helpful.
I saw the magic man once. He was tall and skinny, and he wore a blue top hat. Made him look even taller, and he had a bird with him with wings of fire.
Should be a pretty easy ID, but now if you want to find out who the magic man is, you're going to have to wait at least another week. After the second episode, ABC decided to put the series on hiatus until June 2nd, when the 5 remaining episodes will begin to air, and then... well, that's it. In other words, the show has been canceled. Somewhere in there is a story about the precarious world of TV entertainment. Robert Wisdom knows it well. He plays Detective Roger Hobbs in Happy Town. His other TV roles include Bunny Colvin in The Wire and a regular character in Prison Break. His numerous film credits include Ray, Face Off, Osmosis Jones, and Storytelling Before All That. He was a producer here at NPR for All Things Considered. Robert Wisdom joins us from NPR West in Culver City. Bob, welcome home.
Hey, Neil. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. If you've seen Happy Town and you want to ask questions about the series, or if you've seen Bob Wisdom in many of his other roles and want to talk with him, our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. You can also ask what it was like to cut tape on All Things Considered. Now, I've given away many Happy Town hints here, literally. Tell us how it all started.
Well, it's an idea. I think it's a genre that, you know, was born out of David Lynch's world, Twin Peaks, way back when. It's a mystery, and it's not as gruesome as it is eerie. And eerie at 10 o'clock in these crazy times didn't come out the gate strongly enough. But I think it's really a great show. And this little fictional town, Haplin, with the one black person who happens to be Deputy Inspector. But we had a great time shooting. And the show shot in Toronto, where a lot of production is being done these days. But, you know, it was one of those things that, you know, it required the audience to plug into a serial, and that kind of demand is a bit much for commercial TV.
Well, it seemed to work for Lost and some other series, but this time, after just 2 weeks, they said, "Look, nobody's going to follow these storylines. See ya."
That's the thing. I mean, but you know, it's really funny that in the world of TV, you know, to disconnect cancellation from actual failure. You know, it failed to reach its audience, but production-wise, the show, I'd put it up there with anything. It's just the science of finding an audience and marketing is just so so complex these days, because you have people TiVoing, and they're watching box sets, and they're, you know, watching Hulu. So appointment TV just isn't, you know, a high priority right now. You know, in our generation, they have kids they're putting to bed and they're getting up early for yoga or whatever they're doing. And so the ways of measuring an audience, you know, based on a homogeneous sampling back in the 60s and trying to track that, I think that linear approach is just not there anymore. But that's what the industry still relies on. So,
how does a cast member get the word that the series that you thought would pay for your retirement has just been chucked in the can?
You get an email from the producer saying, "We love you so much, and you did a great job. Sorry, you're fired."
Did you get that email in Toronto or
No. We didn't. We just found out last week. ABC was generous enough to try to give it 2 weeks. Launching a show just at mid-season is really tough, and the upfronts were coming up. So we went on the air, and they wanted to get the show and see how it stood up against the competition in 2 weeks' time. And then they had to make a decision because they had a whole slate of other shows that they were going to announce this week. So so we didn't have much time, but they did a heck of a job marketing, I think. We were on, you know, for a while there, we were on every halftime or every commercial during the during the basketball season. But
but 2 episodes. Are we just talking to a man who hopes to one day to work for ABC again?
You know, this is my second series with ABC, and I did back in 97, we did, 18 episodes of a show called Cracker, and which was adapted from a British series, a great British series. You know what? In this game, you just keep pitching. You know, you walk away, you dust off, and we're right back in the game. So, you know, it's kind of like Free Agentville. You know, it's, like George Clooney probably had, maybe 20 shows canceled, mm-hmm. pilots before he became George Clooney. So yeah. You just never know when it's going to happen. But it's not what you kind of look out for. The experience of putting the show together was really what it was about. And we're really proud of it. And, you know, the next one will come. And hey, if Tinkerbell flies around and waves a little stardust on it and we win next time, I'll be able to bank it. But, right now I'm still getting a room at the old actor's home, getting ready.
Yeah. But the episodes that you filmed that are being, I think the expression in the industry is burned off.
They're being burned off. Yeah, they're being burned off. But I think people will be very happy with it. You know, the funny thing is when they'll put the box set out right after the last episode, and I'm willing to bet that it'll be a little cult piece. Right after that, the audience that is there. I mean, for instance, The Wire was HBO almost canceled it entirely after the third season. They just couldn't see where it was going. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, every time I walk in the airport, people are just singing the praises. So these things have a second, third, fourth life. And I don't think anybody really knows when it's going to hit and how it's going to hit. But those checks are nice, too. So,
well, you mentioned The Wire, and you are perhaps best known for your role in The Wire. You played District Commander Howard Bunny Colvin on the HBO series, which ended a couple of years ago. Yeah. We've got a clip of one of your performances from that program. It's just a really terrific piece let's listen to Bunny Colvin.
Somewheres back in the dawn of time, this district had itself a civic dilemma of epic proportion. The city council had just passed a law that forbid alcoholic consumption public places, on the streets and on the corners. But the corner is, and it was, and it always will be, the poor man's lounge. It's where a man wants to be on a hot summer's night. It's cheaper than a bar. You catch a nice breeze, you watch the girls go by. But the law is a law. The Western cops rolling by, what were they going to do? They arrested every dude out there for tipping back a high life. There'd be no other time for any other kind of police work. And if they looked the other way, they'd open themselves to all kinds of flaunting, all kind of disrespect. Now, this is before my time when it happened, but somewhere back in the 50s or 60s, there was a small moment of genius by some nameless smoke hound who comes out to cut rate one day, and on his way to the corner, he slips that just-bought pint of elderberry into a paper bag. A great moment of civic compromise. That small paper bag allowed the corner boys to have their drink in peace, and it gave us permission to go and do police work. The kind of police work that's actually worth the effort, that's worth actually taking a bullet for. Dozerman, you got shot last night trying to buy 3 vials. 3. There's never been a paper bag for drugs until now.
Robert Wisdom as Bunny Colvin on The Wire, and we here at NPR are just so proud that we had a voice like that and a talent like that and used him to put act next to tracks and rushed a deadline on All Things Considered. And in fact, convinced him to get the hell out of town and go to Hollywood, make something of himself.
One finger short, but hey.
The scars, I'm sure, came in handy.
Exactly.
We used to cut with razor blades in those
razor
days.
Razor blades.
It was some time ago.
In our mouths.
I'm sure in licking all that grease off the tape was, I'm sure it's really good for us. Anyway, we have some callers on the line to talk with Bob Wisdom about something a little bit more important than the old days at ATC. Let's begin with, this is Patrick. Patrick with us from Lansing in Michigan.
Hi, Mr. Wisdom.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. good. I'm a big fan, and you were one of my favorite characters on The Wire. And
thank you.
I was just wondering what you feel are the differences between a network television show and a cable television show, such as The Wire.
Wow. Well, you know, there's a, as you could just hear, in a cable show, in a HBO show, and a David Simon show, particularly, you can really let a character speak, and you get a 2-3 minute speech, which is very rare in commercial TV, in network TV, and so the nature of a storyline is much richer. The thing that's important in a commercial show is that you locate it in a place where everybody's familiar, the living room, a police squad room, an ER, some place where people get it. But, you know, a show like The Wire or, you know, some of the other shows, Breaking Bad and Mad Men, all of these shows are taking on periods of time, and they have the luxury to, like, really explore, you know, richer and more complex relationships. So those are two things from an actor's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole other set of things from a producer's point of view. But
in that they may be given a little more time in terms of numbers of episodes to find that audience.
Exactly, exactly.
All right. Patrick, thanks very much for the call.
Thanks, Patrick.
Hey, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
We're talking with Robert Wisdom. We have to call him now. That's what it says on his resume.
That's what it says. I'm still Bob to you, Neil.
Okay. Still, hey, you.
Hey, you.
And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Patrick on the line. Patrick with us from Norwich in Connecticut. Patrick, you there? I think Patrick has left us.
Patrick back.
Let's go instead to Charlie. Charlie with us in Wichita, Kansas.
Hi. I think you pretty much covered, but my question was basically, why do these wonderful programs succeed on the lesser networks? Do they have lower expectations as to audience than the commercial, than the big three or four now?
Well, that's a great question. It's really about cost.
Cable,
you know, the regulations around cable were written back in the day when they were really struggling and trying to get on board. And in fact, they are just as profitable as the commercial networks these days. But the commercial networks have just this, you know, just hugely inherited overhead, huge buildings and so forth. So it costs so much more to put those shows on.
Gotcha.
And they charge, and the demands of advertisers really limits how you reach and service an audience. You don't have that demand in cable. So it's really about money. You know, it's really about how much you're willing to commit to a show.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you.
Go next to Ron. Ron with us from The Villages in Florida.
Hey, Mr. West. Excuse me. Mr. Wisdom.
Yes, sir.
Retired police officer, 34 years law enforcement. I watched The Wire religiously. You know, most cops don't watch cop shows because they're just they're nothing like what we do. But your character, Bunny and Bunk and I've got probably just about every episode. I've got it taped and hidden away. I watch them constantly.
Wow,
great,
thank you.
Great show. You did a wonderful, wonderful job. I just you were excellent. You were just outstanding.
Well, thank you. So that's coming from you. That means a lot. And I have to say that the Baltimore Police Force were really, I hung out a lot with them. We did a lot of ride-arounds. I spent a lot of time in West Baltimore, which is a pretty rugged area, and they taught me a lot. They shepherded us through, I have the utmost respect for the work that, you know, law enforcement does across the country, and primarily due to this show. Thanks.
Well, it
showed. You could tell. I mean, it showed that you and most of the other characters actually must have been out on the streets for a while because your actions and your demeanor it showed. Outstanding work.
Ron, thanks very much. So you were able to translate that to the mean streets of Haplin, Minnesota?
Well, Haplin was a little more genteel until a railroad spike found a victim. But, yeah, you know, and that's the other thing. You can't do gritty cop stuff on network TV. They really put a lot of makeup on you. They light you under these smoky yellow lights, and you know it's a lot more polished. And you know, Richard Price wrote that that paper bag speech, and Richard Price is one of the great novelists in the country. And when he brings that touch to you know, to your words, it's another kind of thing.
One last call. Let's go to Paul. Paul with us from Tucson.
Hi, am I there?
Yes, you're on the air. Quickly, if you would.
You know, you have an amazing voice, first of all. It's really great. But I was immediately reminded when you mentioned this Happy Town show, which I'd never heard of, but I'm sure there's an audience for, of shows like Pushing Daisies, if you've ever remembered it, or Firefly.
One of my favorites.
You know, great shows.
You get to watch TV, Neil.
And box sets.
And their fan bases came in well after the show was canceled, and he was like, wow, too bad I wasn't there to give it support at the time that it was actually being shown. And it's just like, what can you do when you just don't have the basis right there off the bat? But, you know, in time, people will get the word out, and it's just going to be awesome.
Cult classic. That's what we're hearing.
That's what we like. Cult classic.
Yes.
Paul, thanks very much for the call.
Thanks
for
Paul.
The observation.
Well, sure. All right.
And Bob, what's next up for you?
Well, I'll be on. I'm on this show now called Burn Notice, and I'm playing this.
Oh, that's a great show! I love that show too.
Oh, Neil, I love that your voice. That's a fun show. I'm playing this. I'm playing a old school spy, Cold War spy, who is now a wolf in tiger clothing, and it's a great, a big fun role, and Burn Notice, I think it's just, you know, Matt Nix is a great producer. He's doing a couple of other shows. It's one just got on Fox. But
Bruce Campbell's been on with us, so.
Oh, great.
Yeah, say hi.
I sure will.
All right. Good luck.
Hey, Neil. Thank you.
Robert Wisdom is an actor, plays Detective Roger Hobbs in ABC's soon-to-be-departing Happy Town, with us from NPR West in Culver City. Tomorrow, Madeleine Albright proposes a new mission for NATO after the Cold War. The former Secretary of State will join us. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.